At the close of World War I, Ohio farmers organized to preserve their livelihoods and their lifestyles. In 1919, they gave birth to the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. And since then, Farm Bureau has gone on to significantly shape the culture and the economy of the Buckeye State. Today, we celebrate the centennial of the state's largest and most influential farm and food organization. Farm Bureau turns 100 today on Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Born in 1919, Ohio Farm Bureau electrified rural Ohio, founded Nationwide Insurance, twice amended the state constitution, and preserved Ohio's rural landscape. It accomplished it through 100 years of grassroots action by family farmers, all while providing consumers with safe, affordable, locally grown food. Farm Bureau recently held its centennial celebration, and today we want to share some of the stories of the organization's great history. Farm Bureau President Frank Burkett addressed the convention delegates.
I'd like to start by throwing out a few names. ConAgra Foods, Hilton Hotels, Reynolds Aluminum, Toro. I looked through a list of brand names that were launched in 1919. I found those four brands that I'd consider to be familiar names today. As a matter of fact, the number of American brands that last 100 years hovers at just less than 1%. I tell you that to tell you this. The fact that we're here celebrating Ohio Farm Bureau's 100th anniversary today is a really big deal, and you are a part of that.
Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Adam Sharp, in his address to the convention, drew some parallels between the Farm Bureau of 1919 and 2019.
Our mission statement is working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities. I wanted to read that to you, and I want you to keep it in mind as I read you a couple statements from 100 years ago. There's the famous quote from Murray Lincoln. Murray Lincoln was our first executive vice president, and he said, "People have within their own hands the tools to fashion their own destiny." Another early statement, an original trustee, later our third Farm Bureau president, Perry Green, and he said, "It is well to keep in mind, as we face the future, that our farm problem will be solved only when farmers' economic power is brought into balance with his competitors." And a third statement from H.C. Rogers from Champaign County, and he wrote this in our earliest days, "Farming is the greatest business in the world, yet the farmer has practically no voice. Unorganized, we farmers are going to have the life very nearly squeezed out of us." Our slogan should be and must be, "Get together, work together, stay together." He went on to write, "Brother farmers, remember this. We will get out of our Farm Bureau an exact ratio of what we put into it. A century of change, challenges, and progress." In these comments made 100 years apart, and yet here we are, holding the same beliefs and values as the visionaries did who built the Ohio Farm Bureau.
We'll hear more from some of the 100th annual meeting speakers later today, but right now we're going to turn our attention to Craig Lovelace. Craig's our de facto Farm Bureau historian by nature of the fact that we commissioned Craig to write a book about our first 100 years. He told me his goal was to tell the Farm Bureau story within the context of the broader world into which Farm Bureau was born.
My points of research started even before the Civil War and right after the Civil War, because all the problems that farmers faced, whether it be manipulation of the markets, railroad fees, what some called usury fees of banks that they gave out to farmers, All that started right after the Civil War as America was industrializing. And each time that the farmer tried to stand up to himself, he or she got smacked down. So when the Farm Bureaus started, and they were the result of all these various pieces of legislation that gave them the ability to gather together to buy and sell cooperatively and hopefully raise their standard of living. 1919 was like the culmination. The war had just ended. Farmers played a heck of a role in feeding the Allied troops, but they still felt that they needed a buying mechanism to help the body agriculture. And so they informally got together in early 1919 and said, let's do it. They hired Murray Lincoln, was the first executive secretary after beating out, I think, five candidates it was.
Tell us a little bit more about Murray Lincoln. Went on to, I don't think I'm exaggerating, saying went on to become world famous.
You're not exaggerating. These are my impressions of Lincoln based on my research and the writing. I think he was, today we would call him an entrepreneur. I think this man was just gifted in business sense. I think he was one of those people who could see tomorrow and plan for it. He just had that knack. And but he also, I thought, in the end, I don't think I would ever wanted to work for him. I thought he was a micromanager who, it was his way or the highway. There was no room for much opinion in many instances. Now, however, as the years progressed, and especially as the depression took hold, his view changed a lot. He thought that the system had let down the country, and especially farmers, and his views became more liberal. There was a woman who came on board. Her name was Verna Elsinger, who was a community activist from the get-go, and I think she helped push Lincoln to accept the views that he was having about himself. And from that point on, you saw where he started to get involved with humanitarian relief. He was part of CARE, really took a world outlook on the plight of those less fortunate.
You spend a great deal of time in the book talking about the business ventures of Farm Bureau, and it appears to me that the way these farmers joining together that you described, one of the tools they found was to start their own businesses, most all of them as cooperatively owned businesses. Talk about rural electrification and the landmarks. Well, it was originally Farm Bureau Cooperative Association.
Yeah. Well, Farm Bureau Cooperative Association / Landmark was their longest lasting, longest lasting business enterprise. And in the beginning, it started out as a subsidiary where Farm Bureau oversaw every Farm Bureau Cooperative Association store. They eventually decided or learned that was impractical because, one, they didn't have the resources to monitor each individual store. And so they cut them loose. They said, you're on your own. Pay us a percentage of whatever happens, but you manage it, because they believe that there was more incentive for the local people to monetize the store in a successful way.
And I'm going to jump in here just for some shorthand. What these stores were doing were allowing farmers to buy collectively fertilizers and seeds and the other products that are inputs on the farm. And then on the flip side, they cooperatively sold their products, whether they commingled grain or livestock or whatever. So that's the very condensed version of what they were doing. And one of the things they did, Craig, that became most famous and long-lasting, they brought electricity to rural America, at rural Ohio.
They facilitated it, that for sure. The Rural Electrification Administration created the law that said, you know, cooperatives, you can start your own power distribution systems. Well, obviously, Farm Bureau was a proponent of that for years. They tried to get something done in Ohio specifically, but they tried to get legislation introduced, but the legislature, and I think it was in the late 20s, never addressed it. So when the federal legislation was passed, the counties were excited about it. And Piqua County was the first one to say, yes, we want to do this. And they had enough people invest to form a cooperative. And Farm Bureau's role was to basically facilitate it in getting them the engineering plans, the drawings, everything that that a builder would need to do to get up and running. And they went down to Washington at the time and immerse themselves in the legislation. And electricity just changed the way rural Ohio, or the countryside, not just Ohio, but everywhere. It improved the livelihoods of so many people.
Another business venture launched by Farm Bureau in its earliest days was Farm Bureau Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It later went on to become a household name, Nationwide Insurance. Nationwide's current CEO, Steve Rasmussen, addressed the Farm Bureau Centennial Meeting.
First of all, I'd like to really give my congratulations to the Farm Bureau for 100 years of serving agriculture across our great state and across our nation. And I think what you have to reflect upon is back in 1919, it took some daring agricultural members to step out and say, we need to find a way to be part of the communication. We need to be part of government. We need to be part of building what is going to happen around us as a state. And my congratulations to all of those early Farm Bureau members for doing the things that they did to continue to advance what the Farm Bureau has become here in Ohio. You know, if you think about it, 9 years or 7 years after the Farm Bureau was formed, some far-thinking Farm Bureau members said, we need some lower-cost automobile insurance. And they formed then Farm Bureau Mutual, which ultimately became Nationwide. And no one knew at that time in 1926 what this could be. In those days, farmer members were selling to each other. I look at those early books of policyholders, and they were working between themselves to build an organization. They built an organization that is second to none. We should all be proud of where the Farm Bureau has brought Nationwide. Without you, we wouldn't exist. But I suspect 100 years from now, there'll be people sitting in a room celebrating the second 100 years, and they will be folks from the Farm Bureau, and there'll be folks from Nationwide, and we'll be thinking about those same core values that got us here today, the things of giving and caring and family. And frankly, that's what we all are. We're family. And that's how we think about ourselves. That's how we think about our mission. And frankly, that's what has sustained our organizations for the last century and will sustain us in the century to come.
Nationwide CEO Steve Rasmussen helping Farm Bureau celebrate its centennial. We are back celebrating Ohio Farm Bureau's 100th anniversary and chatting with Farm Bureau history book author Craig Lovelace. He spends some time in the book looking at the organization's inclusiveness. At just about the same time Farm Bureau was being born, 1919, women in the United States had just gained the right to vote. Lovelace says that right after that, Ohio Farm Bureau brought women into its leadership roles.
It was, I think, by 1921 that they included women on the board of directors. And so as the little time progressed after that, they commissioned a study to find out what could Farm Bureau do to improve women's involvement in the organization. And it was, you know, the committee was composed of women who were members of Farm Bureau or whose husbands were members of Farm Bureau. And they came back and they said, okay, what's your main recommendation? Put more women on the board.
So they
and they
those,
did.
Those guys were wise indeed.
They did.
You talk to in the book about activities to bring youth along, to build future generations of not only Farm Bureau members, but leaders for the organization and leaders for the state of Ohio.
I think you can take that, and you're exactly right. You can take that and tie them in with, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, but you could tie in that aspect plus the advisory councils. All those are tied towards education and community. Each one of them has the goal. I think Farm Bureau is one of Farm Bureau's mission is to create good citizens. And each one of those facets, advisory councils, which range more for adults, and all the community, the younger programs, do exactly that.
There's a whole chapter on, I think you title it something along the lines of creating an image, but it's about communications, both to Farm Bureau members and to the public. And I think you make the case that that has always been a strength of Farm Bureau is figuring out what to say to whom.
It was from the very start, they realized the importance of communications. They saw what was going on with other associations like the business groups, and they were always communicating with their people. So that something they did right out of the box is they took over the Ohio Farm Bureau Monthly, which Ohio State had been publishing. And Ohio Farm Bureau Monthly turned into Ohio Farm Bureau News, several variations to Buckeye News.
It's continued to grow. Our Ohio Magazine,
Town Hall.
Ohio, that we're listening to right now, and television programming and all. Let's switch, Craig, to what I think for at least the typical traditional Farm Bureau member, the family that's raising food and doing it for commercial purposes, one of the biggest reasons they used to join, now join, and probably will forever join, is that Farm Bureau helps them get things done at the courthouse, the state house, and the White House. The political activity, the political action of Farm Bureau. As you were writing the book, what did you learn in that arena?
I learned that if I were a farmer, that would be the main reason why I would remain a member, because I'm out in the field. I would be out in the fields milking the cows, growing the corn, but having that voice, whether it be on the township, the county, or the state level, advocating on my behalf, that's gold, in my opinion.
Do any of the particular political wins from Farm Bureau over the years that you found to be of particular interest?
Not anyone in particular, but what I'm always amazed at is the mobilization of that Farm Bureau brings to the political arena. I believe it was the label issue 5, the labeling issue. That was a serious threat to the way of life for farmers. And Farm Bureau mobilized the rural community, and that thing got clobbered at the polls. Same way with the animal care issue back in 2009. Again, mobilized, and on election day, I think it lost by close to a
two to one,
yeah.
Yeah, I was actually here for that one, and you're right. It was a huge political victory.
I am not I don't know too many politicians, but if they do run, if I have friends who run, I say, you know, I don't care where you live. You got to go talk to the farmers.
Public policy remains key to Farm Bureau's attractiveness to farmers. And as Executive Adam Sharp said to attendees at our recent annual meeting, 2018 had its share of big wins.
First off, implementation of the CAUV reforms that we were able to make last year And as we've seen, as we were predicting, we should see on average about a 30% tax rate reduction for farmers, and that's what we're seeing. So we appreciate now the implementation moving forward. Water quality. I just want to say a personal thanks and an appreciation to the many partners, many of you who are in this room that worked with Farm Bureau this past year on water quality, because it is an absolutely critical issue to our state and to our industry. Now, our efforts, they're creating data, they're creating knowledge. The work that we're doing is going to protect water quality, and it also is going to protect and preserve food productivity in the state of Ohio. And in a huge win in the water quality area, I think we made it abundantly clear that public policy in the state of Ohio will absolutely not be enacted without the input from Ohio agriculture.
Ohio Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Adam Sharp. We'll be back with more of our centennial celebration, including further conversation with our history book author, Craig Lovelace, when we continue on Town Hall Ohio. We're in to wrap up our visit with author Craig Lovelace. He wrote a new book titled Our Century Together, Celebrating 100 Years of Farm Bureau. Earlier, you heard Lovelace say that he's come to the conclusion that Farm Bureau's work in the public policy arena is our bread and butter. But he also believes the organization needs to continue to have a conversation with consumers.
I'm from the city. I go to the store, I look, and there's my meat, there's my vegetables, all in these pretty aisles. And I never gave it a second thought about where it came from. And there are a lot of people out there like me. I'm not like that anymore. I know where the food comes from. So I don't think that perception is ever going to go away. But the right to farm is, I think, more of an understanding between that the general public needs to have about agriculture. So you have to take in consideration all the worries, all the obstacles that the everyday farmer has to go through to make sure that you have bananas 12 months of the year. I think that's what that is trying to get across.
So if you were to talk to a friend and say, hey, I just got done working on this two-year project for Ohio Farm Bureau, why might somebody who's not attached to Farm Bureau find the book of interest, do you think?
I would hope so. Again, the story is about the Farm Bureau, but the story is about a slice of America. Because without the country, the Farm Bureau wouldn't exist. But without the Farm Bureau, there'd be a heck of a lot more people in. They would be worse off than with the Farm Bureau.
That's a pretty strong endorsement, and I believe a deserved one. OFBF Executive Vice President Adam Sharp, during his speech at the centennial meeting, looked back at 100 years of making life better in Ohio.
As you know, we were founded in 1919, but just 2 years after that, in 1921, and only 1 year after the United States ratified the 19th Amendment that gave women the right to vote, the Ohio Farm Bureau created 4 female-specific seats on our state board. In 1926, the Farm Bureau Mutual Automobile Insurance Company was founded. And of course, in 1955, that became nationwide. In 1931, the Farm Bureau Agricultural Credit Corporation was formed to help farmers with financing. The Farm Bureau in 1935 created the Rural Electrification Cooperative, which was absolutely instrumental in getting electricity to rural Ohio. In 1947, WRFD Radio was founded, and of course, its purpose was to spread news and our farm messages. In 1967, the personal property tax for farmers was repealed. And in 1973, of course, we passed the constitutional amendment creating the CAUV tax system. In 81, we formed our Agricultural for Good Government Political Action Committee, which is absolutely critical to supporting our elected friends. In 2001, we launched the Our Ohio magazine that's become very popular across the state. In 2008, we built the nationwide and Farm Bureau 4-H Center at The Ohio State University. And in 2009, we created the Livestock Care Standards Board. And in 2013, we eliminated the Ohio estate tax. 2017 saw the reform of the CAUV system that has allowed 30% savings for our farmers. And in 2018, we defeated an ill-conceived plan to have state government dictate farming practices. All of these things, and literally thousands more of these types of accomplishments, both large and small, have gotten done. And they've gotten done by men and women, just like you, sitting in farm shops and in meeting rooms all across the state of Ohio, identifying problems and coming up with the solutions.
The way Farm Bureau goes about putting those people in the room hasn't changed in 100 years. Members asking new people to join. Paul Lyons directs Farm Bureau's membership program.
Yeah, that's exactly the process. It's unbelievable that we continue to do that, but our neighbors, they go out and talk to their friends and neighbors. They stop into those farm lots and talk to them about the value of Farm Bureau.
And the interesting part is, for each of our members who's doing recruiting, that value is very personal.
It's absolutely personal, and that's really how we help them build their story, is to first talk about why they believe in the organization and the value that it brings to them, and talk to that friend or neighbor how it might affect them. Just using this year, we had 8 people that hit at least 50 members, which is incredible. In addition to that, we had 100 that signed at least 10 new this past year. So incredible. Incredible, the dedication of our members to help grow this organization.
So I can't help but look back at past officers, state trustees, county presidents, almost every one of them, to a man or a woman, got their initiation into more than just paying their dues by joining a membership campaign. What is it that links that willingness to work membership to maybe moving on to higher office?
Membership has always been that entry level, if you will, for them to go out and learn more about the organization. You know, they're not only telling their story, but they get to learn all the things that Ohio Farm Bureau does. And it is that basic building block to get them involved in the organization, and then to aspire to be a committee chair or a board member, and eventually a officer on their board, and then eventually on our state board. It is amazing that our members have such dedication, if you will, again, to growing this organization and the value that it brings to them and their friends, their neighbors, and their community.
Our look at 100 years of Farm Bureau continues after this. Today we're celebrating Ohio Farm Bureau's centennial. And at our recently held 100th annual meeting, Farm Bureau President Frank Burkett addressed the convention. He asked and answered an important question.
Why have we lasted this long? The simple answer is you. Because of you and those who preceded you, your friends, your families, your mothers and fathers, your grandmothers and grandfathers, and even in some instances, your great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers. Our members, our staff, and what we do together have delivered us to this centennial celebration. Tens of thousands of folks just like you who have contributed a century of Farm Bureau successes.
One of those greatest successes was the creation of the Farm Bureau Mutual Automobile Insurance Company back in 1926. You know that company today by the name Nationwide. Steve Hosfeld runs Nationwide's archives.
Essentially, we were founded to help farmers who had been dealing with significant economic depression for a couple decades at that point, to help them save money on car insurance, because cars in many cases were the most valuable piece of equipment that that the farmers had, and there was a danger that, you know, they could, first of all, not afford insurance that was being offered by old line insurers that were selling primarily to people living in cities, and farmers just didn't have the same type of experience. They were living in, you know, rural areas, on driving on roads that were less populous, often unimproved, and in many cases were storing their vehicles for up to 6 months during the winter when the roads were impassable, and they just didn't, it was difficult economically for them to decide, do I pay this high, you know, really expensive insurance that I really are less likely to need. And so leaders of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, in particular, gentlemen like Uncle George Cooley and Murray Lincoln and Ezra Enstadt, pushed this forward. And on April 14th, 1926, Farm Bureau Mutual Automobile Insurance Company started business.
Now, it was formed under the business structure of a cooperative as opposed to being a stockholder-owned company. Explain the difference and why they went that route.
So Nationwide today, and is still today, but was also founded as a mutual insurance company. So a mutual insurance company is owned by the policyholders. And, that... that organizational structure was very close to the structure that the farm bureaus were connected to in terms of the local cooperatives that were being established. The people who have a vested interest in the organization are tied to the organization, and they have an ownership in the organization. And that is really important because it allows Nationwide to think primarily for our members rather than about stockholders. Excuse me.
So 1926, it's formed, it's growing, nearly three decades pass. What transpired then to lead to the decision to separate the Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company from the Farm Bureau organization?
So in 1948, Ohio insurance examiners and those from a couple other states did an examination and looked at the organizational structure of the two organizations and made a determination that there was the potential for some inappropriate activities. However, in the examination, they clearly stated that there was no inappropriate activity happening. However, that the structure lent itself to that potentially happening. And so they made the strong recommendation, that the two organizations separate. Neither the Farm Bureau Federation nor the insurance company wanted to. We argued against it, but ultimately decided that we would follow the examiner's recommendation and did separate operations.
And the name Nationwide was chosen for a very practical reason.
It was. So it was in 1955 that we officially changed our name to Nationwide. And the reason for that was they were looking to, it was a very aspirational name. And the company was looking to expand across the country. And it just made sense, like if we're looking to expand, if we're looking to grow Nationwide, maybe we should take that name. And it wasn't something that we were looking to do from the beginning. It wasn't something that we were looking to separate from the Farm Bureau. It was primarily that we were, again, having this aspirational interest. We were also beginning to operate in a number of states that had their own state Farm Bureau insurance companies, and if we changed the name, we could also eliminate some of that confusion.
Town Hall, Ohio will wrap up right after this. We are back to wrap up our look at the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Ohio Farm Bureau. This year's annual meeting was one for the record books. A lot of business got done, as always, but this one was just a whole lot of fun. Now, meetings like that don't just happen. There's months, or in this case, years of preparation, and just about every Farm Bureau staff member played a role, but some who deserve special recognition are Chip Nelson, Julie Shaw, Wanda Campbell, and Lynn Snyder. Just wanted to offer my congratulations to them and all of their Farm Bureau co-workers. Of course, the real stars of Farm Bureau are its members, who, as President Frank Burkett reminds us, are carrying on a 100-year tradition.
Farm Bureau was founded on the concept that farmers working together could get more done than by working alone. Our first executive vice president, Murray Lincoln, in a speech described it this way, cooperation amongst the rural folks of Ohio along commercial, economical, legislative, social, and educational lines.
If you were with us before the break, you heard the story of how Farm Bureau created an insurance company back in the 1920s. It went on to become Nationwide. One little known fact is the closeness of the two organizations still today. Many of Nationwide's board of directors are former volunteer leaders for Ohio Farm Bureau. They include Tim Corcoran, a family farmer, who is also the chairman of the Nationwide board. He addressed Farm Bureau's 100th annual meeting.
On behalf of my fellow board of directors, it's great to be here to help kick off your centennial. 100 years of supporting farmers, advocating for agriculture, and taking care and strengthening our communities. As a farmer and a Farm Bureau member for nearly 40 years, I can speak about my families and my farm businesses benefits because of Ohio Farm Bureau. We have been the beneficiaries of this great organization's work. And many of my fellow board members, all of them in this room here today, were farmers. We're farmers first. And yet, years ago, we sat in the same seats that many of you do today. We shared the same responsibilities. We worked on our local grassroots efforts, and more importantly, we helped develop policy. Policy that kept agriculture strong and protected those things that were most important to us. So on behalf of Terry and Jeff and Brent and Steve and Sparky and Craig, thanks to all of you for continuing that work. It's important to us. And as Nationwide board members, I can tell you that we are committed to working for a strong relationship between Ohio Farm Bureau and our company. Together, we'll work to find solutions for our members, just as our founders did for Ohio Farm Bureau in 1919, and when they recognized that need in 1926 and created a small insurance company.
Tim Corcoran, chairman of the board for Nationwide. Probably not the kind of speech you'd expect to hear from someone who sits in such a position, but I guess that's kind of the point. I've been around Farm Bureau for 40 years, and Mom and Dad were members. My grandparents were members. My exposure came first as a reporter covering the organization and then spending 20 years here on staff. I will tell you from firsthand experience, Farm Bureau members are the kinds of people we all should aspire to be. They're committed, genuine, and they're steeped in the values and the beliefs that benefit their families, their industry, and benefit all of us in the community. It is an honor to be a part of the Farm Bureau family. To close out our centennial celebration, I want to share one final excerpt from the 100th annual meeting. This from the speech of Farm Bureau's Executive Vice President, Adam Sharp.
100 years from now, what will our grandkids and our great-grandkids say about the Farm Bureau on our 200th anniversary? I know what they'll say. They'll say we honored our traditions. They will say that we prepared for the future. And they will say our organization adapted to the world around us. And they will also say we never abandoned our principles. We are the lucky few who have the privilege to be here at our 100th annual meeting, where we are celebrating the past and setting a course for the future. Thank you to everybody who came before us, and thank you for the time and energy that each and every one of you put into the Ohio Farm Bureau. Thank you much.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall, Ohio.